Champion players, champion club. Melbourne wins another one.
Yes, it is! Rhys Perry-Briggs up to 200 in style.
Full Sam.
For all your sports news, reviews, and interviews, you listen to the Sports Desk here on Sin. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7. I'm Ben, your Neve. How are you, Neve?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very authoritative there. Your Neve. I hope you are, Neve.
I think so. Last time I checked.
Last time you checked. Okay, that's good. Michael, unfortunately, isn't able to join us again for a second week in a row.
Boo.
Not unlike, yeah.
Soft.
Bad form, Michael. He'll be in on next week, which is our final show for season one, unfortunately. But anyway, before we get into the downers, we may as well start with some AFL because round three is upon us and the team lineups were announced last night. So we'll be doing a bit of a preview of each match, going through the teams, who's in, who's out, and our big calls as well for the upcoming round. So, starting off, we've got Carlton against Collingwood tonight, 7:50 at the MCG. Should be an absolute cracker. Both sides sit in 16th and 17th, respectively, on the table, which is, I think, has been the case for maybe the last couple of seasons. They've started sort of the season towards the bottom of the table when they've clashed early on, so should be a good match, nevertheless. Both sides looking to win their first match. Hopefully it doesn't end up in a draw for either of them. But anyway, so the ins for Carlton, they welcome back Matthew Kruser, who missed out last week through injury, and they've also got Matthew Kennedy. They are both in for Kieran Byrne.
Irish.
And Cameron O'Shea. For Collingwood, ins are Ben Reid and Mason Cox, out Darcy Moore injured, and obviously Tim Broomhead with that gruesome leg injury. What are our thoughts on this match, Neve? Who do we think is going to win?
It's funny that it's still a Friday night fixture, I think. I think for the last couple of years, it's not been particularly exciting. And they keep getting these Friday nights, which is interesting, particularly Carlton, but that's okay.
Do they have, is it five they've got this year?
They always get
a
lot.
It rings a bell. Five.
I mean, they're getting better, but it's still not, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
I love how the AFL, I think it was it three seasons ago, four, whatever it was, maybe five seasons ago, they made an announcement saying, okay, all Friday nights pretty much going to be based on performance.
Yeah.
And I think
for
was,
everyone except Carlton and Collingwood.
Yeah. And Carlton, I think they got seven last year.
So the AFL
will say, oh, yeah, no, we've dropped it. We've dropped it to five. Like, seriously, give it to some teams who are actually performing well.
Yeah. And
Carlton.
And it's interesting as well with the whole thing about they're considering taking Good Friday off North Melbourne, which I think is stupid because then, like, the gap between the teams who get to, like, Collingwood or, you know, like that get to play a lot of marquee fixtures. If we have to go through Richmond and Carlton as a season opener every year, then I'm sure we can have North Melbourne, who have pushed for a really long time to have a game on Good Friday that would go to charity, to just kind of like take it off them is a big kick in the guts, I think. So.
And that was the whole point of starting it, to give it to the teams who aren't exposed to these
like
blockbuster
North
matches.
And St Kilda. And it's like you wonder why the teams haven't got as much money or like haven't got the membership sign up. Like you have to let it grow. I think the AFL has this really kind of like focused, like the product has to be so good as soon as it starts, like having a marquee fixture with like less with like smaller clubs or like with the AFLW bringing in like weird rules, it's like it's not gonna like it's like instant gratification is not gonna happen with this sort of thing. So
do you think there should just be the one match on the Good Friday between say like North Melbourne and whoever, or do you feel that there is room to have an interstate game played after the Victorian fixture?
Maybe. I mean, there's probably children's hospitals in other states that need money, so, like, they could do a similar thing. I think for now, maybe just one, but,
I proposed, what was it, Monday or Wednesday? I can't remember what show I proposed it on, but I think it was Monday. I said that potentially you could have the interstate rivalries just rotate it. So, for example,
yeah,
1 year you may have the Adelaide Showdown straight after this match, then the next match you may have the Perth Derby, the Q Clash, and then the Sydney Derby, so on. And they just rotate year on year, potentially. That was one of my suggestions. I like to see that because you got the game at 4:40. It was at 4:10? It's not 4:40, I think.
No,
it's 4:10.
I think it's like 4:20 or something.
Yeah, it's a strange time. So there's definitely room there for a night game, and I think maybe the AFL might have done that deliberately for that, amongst other reasons, obviously. But they may have done that so they can fit in potentially another match later down the track for this fixture. So I think it would be a good idea to potentially have another interstate match afterwards, because you're just basically giving rugby league and all these other leagues who play on Good Friday a free kick and a free shot at getting ratings and crowds, obviously. So if the AFL can get another game going, I don't see how.
And then it takes the pressure off North having be like such a good. I think North will be a good team, but like we all know, they're rebuilding, like they're bottoming out, so it's unreasonable to expect it to be incredible quality.
And we've got
to
remember,
it has been a shame. Like North have played much better games in already like this season, and
well, their second half was great. Let's give them credit there.
Yeah.
If they had put that in the first half, then it would have been a fantastic performance.
Yeah, and it was similar like that with the game last year, is that the first half of was so bad. The second half wasn't actually too bad. But
what is it? What is it with Good Friday?
It makes me maybe believe in God, if you know what I mean. Like, being Jesus is punishing us for like playing football in his day. But
well, yeah. Oh, not much we can do about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, we've got to move on to the next match. Port Adelaide take on my boys, the Brisbane Lions. No change for Port. Oh, actually, I forgot to ask you, prediction for Carlton Collingwood.
I've tipped Carlton by 7 points, I think is what I did on the footy tipping.
Yes, we've got a footy tipping now comp for the sports desk. I actually forgot who I put, but I think I went Carlton. I'm going to stick with Carlton. I think Carlton will win also.
Mason Cox in the side doesn't. Brody Grundy, his stats are always better when Mason Cox is out of the side. Brody Grundy is arguably, I think, their like best and one of their most influential players. If you bring in, and I mean, like, all credit to Mason Cox, like, he never watched a game of football, came, and he's played, like, at least, I think you play one game, people have a go at him or whatever, but it's like, what have you done? Like, he's come to this country and he's taken our jobs, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, good on him, but he is, like, he's a big unco. And Brody Grundy plays.
Isn't that all big men? Isn't that most big men
apart
in the AFL?
Yeah, apart from Brody Grundy, but it's just like, I think. It's weird to bring in a guy who makes one of your better players not play as well. And I think Carlton will be pretty embarrassed after last week, and I think they'll play a lot better. Cruiser's back for them as well. That's the other
thing.
Cruiser is back. I think Cruiser's underrated in how much influence he has. He's back, whereas Mason Cox is back, which lessens Brody Grundy's impact, according to the stats. So that's why I tipped Carlton.
That's probably
why.
That's probably why I tipped
analytical
Carlton.
Reason that I tipped Carlton.
I think that's why I tipped Carlton as well. Yeah, no, Matthew Cruiser, massive in for them, and probably a huge reason why they got absolutely walloped by Gold Coast last week in that underwhelming performance. All right, so Port, Brisbane, no changes for Port. One change for Brisbane. In comes Mitch Robinson from his suspension, and then out comes Daniel McStay. No surprise there, Mitch Robinson and suspension. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, I know,
right?
They're
like
funny,
a happy
like,
marriage.
He's kind of got it over and done with in the first round. Like, oh, yeah, cool.
Some milestones for the match. Dame Beams, he plays his 150th game. And Nick Robinson plays his 50th. So, predictions. I think this is a fairly easy game to predict.
Yeah, Port.
Port.
I think Brisbane will be like competitive for the first like two quarters and then
I thought you were going to say three. I'm like, nah, it'll be like the
two.
First half.
Yeah.
Well, we did well against Melbourne last week to come back in that fourth turn.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, and then got pumped by 26.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, story of my life. Melbourne, North Melbourne on Saturday also, 2:10 at the G. Now, in for Melbourne, Sam Frost and Dean Kent, out for two omitted players, Jaden Hunt and Cameron Pedersen. No changes for North. So big out there in Jaden Hunt in particular, but a little bit of history in this match. North Melbourne, I think it's fair to say they have the wood over Melbourne. They have
last
won
17, is it?
Yes, their last 17 encounters North Melbourne have defeated the D's. The last time the D's beat North Melbourne, I believe, was round 20 in 2006.
Jeez.
So, do Melbourne break the hoodoo? or do North keep it going? Do they make it 18 straight?
I think Melbourne will win, but it wouldn't surprise me if they lost. You know what I mean? Like, it's just such a typical Melbourne thing to do. Like, and you know, like, and it was like last year as well. It was like, oh, they won against St Kilda at Etihad, which they like couldn't do. And then it was like, yeah, now it's time for them to beat North, and then North did beat them. Which was pretty fun. But that one was down in Tassie, I think.
Yeah, it was.
But
they also beat him here at the G as well.
I think did they?
Yeah, they beat him twice last year.
Oh, okay, geez.
Yeah,
well.
I think they beat him. I think it was early on at the G, and then the next one was at Blundstone. But nevertheless, yeah, North beat him twice last year, and we know how they ended up last year.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So you're going Melbourne?
Yes, I'm going to say Melbourne, but I wouldn't be surprised if they lost.
I'm
going to
go North. Purely because of that. Also, the fact that Melbourne haven't really been in the greatest of forms so far this season. You saw in round one, they were down by about 30 points at halftime to Geelong. To their credit, they brought it back. Arguably could have won it with a Max Gorn kick. But I think that kick was heavily, influenced by the gods, because Melbourne didn't deserve to win that match. They played pretty poor in that first half.
Yeah, that's true.
And then last week against my boys, the Lions, they had the match done and dusted by three-quarter time, half-time even. And to let us in, to tie it up midway through the fourth term, and then lucky for them, they were playing Brisbane, so they were able to run away and win by 26 points. Not convincing at all. And then North, last week, as also, they were able to smash St Kilda by 52 points. So I feel that momentum for North, the fact that Melbourne aren't in the greatest of form, and obviously the massive elephant in the room, which is North Melbourne winning the last 17 clashes, I think all tickets and everything, all signs are pointing towards North Melbourne winning.
Is that your lock of the week?
No.
Can I lock it in?
Aww. Lock it in. You know what? Why not? Screw it. Second last show. Let's lock it in. Lock in North Melbourne to beat Melbourne.
Nice.
All right, we'll do one quick more preview before we get to a break. We got Gold Coast and Fremantle, which is another good match. Who would have thought we'd be saying this?
I know,
come three rounds
the Lockie Weller Cup.
Yeah, the Lockie Weller Cup. It is going to be huge, actually. This is Gold Coast's first home game. I believe they're playing, is it two or three?
At interstate venues.
Yeah, at Perth.
Specifically at Perth.
Yeah, it's Perth, yeah.
Surely they would try and sell some to the Gabba
Well, because it's a new stadium, they offered them quite a lot of money.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's two. I'm standing to be corrected on that.
Gold Coast needs.
But I believe it's
money.
Two. So anyways, their first of a couple, let's say, home games at the Optus Stadium, which is in Perth. Ins for Gold Coast, Pierce Hanley is back from injury. Jack Bowes comes out through suspension. And then in for Fremantle, Tommy Sheridan. And Bradley Hill comes out of the side also through injury. Milestones there in the match. Lockie Weller, speak of the devil, plays his 50th game. And David Swallow plays his 100th. Feels like he's been in the league for ages, Swallow.
Yeah,
but
so injured.
Injury. So anyway, predictions on this match?
I think... Well, also, I was surprised to see Jack Bowes suspended just because he looks like a little choir boy, and I can't imagine him doing like anything to get suspended.
Bowes, the choir boy.
Yeah, he just looks like a prefect or something. I don't know.
Prefect. And,
he just doesn't look like he would do anything.
I just want to hug him.
Yeah, exactly. He probably like bakes cookies in his bed. But,
bakes cookies. We've got to ask him that. We'll try and get him on the show and ask him. Neve wants to know, do you bake cookies in your spare time?
Yeah, you're a baker.
Are you a baker?
But I think, is it... Is Stephen Hill still on the side for Fremantle, or both Hills out now?
Let's have
There's
a look.
There's only one injured. I think that Bradley Hill
Stephen
Hill's
still in.
Okay, cool.
Yep, he's
Bradley
lining
Hill's
up on the
still,
wing.
Like, key to the side, though.
Oh, massive key.
For sure. And I think the only... if Gold Coast can win it in the midfield... I know it's, like, stereotypical to say, like, oh, if you win, you got to win it in the midfield. But I think if they can...
Hey, analytics, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's all
okay,
good.
Thanks.
Think of all the people that don't know about, like, AFL. You're an expert in it. Yep. It's all right.
Okay.
No
so
worries.
So if Gold Coast can win it in the midfield, I think they'll win the game. If like Lockie Neal and Fife are too strong for them and kind of can keep it forward for Fremantle, I think Fremantle will win. But I think I have tipped Gold Coast because I like the way that they're playing. I think Stuart Dew is going to be a more like he'll coach more
he's
aggressively.
He's been fantastic, hasn't
he,
so far?
Than Ross Lyon. So that is my I'm going to tip Gold Coast. The home ground advantage.
Home ground advantage. I'm going to go Gold Coast also. I just feel their form so far this season has been fantastic. And, yeah, Stuart Jew has just completely changed the vibe up there.
Lockie Weller's going to kick 2 goals. That's mine.
That's your big call. Yep. Lockie Weller to kick 2. Yeah, no, I feel Gold Coast, everything's changed up there for the better. A lot more positive vibe there and good camaraderie around the team. So I'm going to predict them to beat Fremantle. Even though Fremantle, they did come off a very impressive win against Essendon last week at Optus Stadium as well. But I don't know. I just really like the way Gold Coast are playing.
And I think as well, Tom Lynch looks a lot happier. And I mean, obviously they want him to stay. And like, I imagine they're all playing, obviously, to win for their own sake. But I think it, like, if you want to have him around and he's happy, and, you know, he's endearing himself to other people, they're going to play even better. The delivery to him is a lot better. I mean, he kicked 8 goals last weekend. He didn't kick any in the first game, and Stuart Jew was still like, oh, he was doing other stuff that we wanted him to. So if he can do the other stuff and kick 8 goals, I think. Like, you just can't see, like, Tabana or someone kicking 8 goals, but you can see Tom Lynch kicking 8 goals.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we'll be back after this with the second half of our AFL preview for round 3.
You're listening to Sin 90.7, the sports desk with Ben and Neve, and we are previewing this round of the AFL men's and giving our hot predictions. You've locked in North to beat Melbourne. I've locked in Lockie Weller to kick 2 goals against his old side. So you heard it here first.
Basically. Also, do text us in on 0447 519 170. That number again, 0447 519 170. Or just tweet us at the sports desk if you've got any thoughts on our big predictions so far for this round, or if you've got any predictions yourselves for the upcoming rounds. Oh, for the upcoming round, I should say. All right, so next up, the Sydney Derby. Sydney and Sydney and GWS go to battle on Saturday night, 7:25 at the SCG. In for Sydney is Sam Reid with Robbie Fox omitted. And then 2 changes for GWS. In come Harry Perryman and Jacob Hopper. Out Tom Scully with that broken ankle. And Zach Landon, who also comes out of the side injured. Predictions. Who do you think?
I think I tip Sydney. Trying to think of my, I want to keep consistency going. And I think I did tip Sydney just because I really don't like GWS. I'd like to see them lose. But also I think Sydney are going to be mad after last week losing to Port when they were the favourites, definitely at home. I think, yeah, I can see Sydney kind of like hardening up and running over the top of them, hopefully.
I don't know, yeah. I can't remember who I picked. I think I did GWS, but like, it is a really hard one to predict because GWS are undefeated at the moment so far this season. They sit pretty on top. Sydney, obviously, fresh off that upset loss, it's fair to say, against Port Adelaide last week at the SCG. So no doubt they'll be firing. I think I will go Sydney purely because Giants, they've lost Tom Scully now. Obviously... Yeah, it's a huge loss.
He's a fast
loss.
Runner. Did you know that? He can run really fast.
Yeah. He's really, really quick as well. It's a huge loss for any team if they lost a player of the caliber of Tom Scully. But I think the Giants will be able to replace him better than many others purely because of their depth and all the draft picks and whatnot they've received over the years. But I still think the loss of Scully will hurt them. So in saying that, I'm going to go with the Sydney Swans. And if I have tipped GWS, I will change my tip on our tipping. All
right. That's good.
St Kilda and Adelaide also take place on Saturday night. And St Kilda, they have made 4 changes to their team. All right. So Rowan Marshall, Luke Dunstan, Brandon White, and in for his first game is Nick Caulfield. Out come Kobe Stevens, Billy Longo, Jack Steele and Hunter Clark all have been omitted except for Longer, who's out injured. In for Adelaide are Tom Lynch and Richard Douglas, out Matt Crouch and Darcy Fogarty.
I know. I am so mad. I put him in my fantasy team and now I have to change it.
Why has he been dropped?
I don't know.
He's been so good. Didn't he kick
That's
like
what
3?
I thought. Yes. This Apparently is a, this there is, was this some, is, like, he had some brain fades or something and they're like, oh, we're managing him because he's, like,
lost.
Young or whatever. But, like... why? Like, surely, like, getting consistency into your young players who are performing well. Not happy.
I love watching him.
Dom Pike, watch your back.
What are you doing? If St Kilda win,
I literally
it's because
traded
Darcy
him
Fogarty
into my team. I traded him into my team. I've done the opposite to Dom Pike. I brought him in. He's brought him out. Now I've got to change it. Not happy.
I think we got to speak to Dom Pike.
Oh, for
maybe
sure.
Maybe get him on the show and ask him why on earth you've dropped Darcy Fogarty.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not fair. That's for sure.
It's not fair.
All right, so predictions for the match?
I think Adelaide will probably win. I'd like to see St Kilda be competitive. It'd be interesting to see Nick Caulfield debut. I thought he would debut before. I mean, I know Hunter Clark was good, but I thought he would potentially debut over Hunter Clark. But now Clark's out, Caulfield's in. I hope St Kilda are competitive because it'll make it a bit more interesting. But I think Adelaide will still win without Fogarty.
Moi aussi. I'm going to go with Adelaide as well. All right, Richmond and we'll move to the Sunday game. So Richmond and Hawthorn take to battle on Sunday at 1:10 at the MCG. A wave of changes in for Richmond. I can't count how many there are, but there are a lot. So Nick Vostone, Dion Pressier, Jack Higgins, Connor Minaju, Sam Lloyd, my boy Chua.
Sorry?
Is it Choi?
Maybe Chol?
Chol. Sorry, it looks like an I. Chol and Ryan Garthwaite come in for Josh Caddy, Shea Bolton, and Corey Ellis. So Jack Higgins to make his debut there.
Exciting.
For the Tigers. And then ins for Hawthorn, James Frawley, David Mirra. You know, I think these are all just like, because it's a Sunday match, they brought in all these players. They're on the emergency list. Who cares? I'll still read them out. Connor Glass, Mark Pitt, Jonathan O'Rourke, Harry Morrison, and Will Langford. Out comes James Sicily, Sean Burgoyne, and Ryan Shoemakers. This is a big match.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hawthorn fresh off a massive win, even though it was 1 point. It was a huge win against Geelong.
I think they played a lot better than they did the week before against
Collingwood.
Because when I saw them, I was like, this game isn't particularly inspiring. I think Collingwood are just not very good. I was like, Geelong will thump them.
It was the opposite.
Yeah.
Hawthorn were thumping them early, and then Geelong just came back, and that lucky behind from Jared Ruffett got them the win. But, yeah, Hawthorn were very convincing on Monday, actually. It wasn't even last week. On Monday against the Cats. Richmond, on the other hand, they haven't been convincing so far this season. They were tight with Carlton pretty much for the first three quarters, then broke away in the last term, and then last week they lost to Adelaide, but they were pretty competitive for three quarters and then let loose in the final term, unfortunately losing for them, for their sake. So I'm going to go Hawthorn in this match.
Yeah, I think I've tipped Richmond.
Ah,
I think
you happy
they're
going to
be angry. I don't know. I don't really want to see either of them win.
I'm going to lock in Hawthorn. That's my second lock.
Oh, that's your second lock.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Ooh.
Now
you're thinking
like
of changing
I'm thinking about. It's so confusing because I don't know which Hawthorn's going to rock up. You know what I mean?
Well, Hawthorn have been
round one Hawthorn or round two Hawthorn.
Well, even round one Hawthorn were all right.
They were right, but I think round one.
But Richmond haven't been all right at all.
That's
so if they
true.
Both go to battle to be closer, but if the Hawthorn round two rock up, they'll smash Richmond.
Yeah, true. Oh,
I still reckon Hawthorn. So you're going Richmond?
I'll just go Richmond to spice things up.
Why not? All right, next match, Western Bulldogs against Essendon. Ins for Western Bulldogs, Tory Dixon, Jack Redpath, Mitch Wallace, Tom Boyd, Fletcher Roberts, and Shay Biggs. Mm. Out, Jordan Ruffett and Jackson Tregove, all out through injury. And the ins to the list for Essendon are Orazio Fantasia, David Myers, Mark Bagley, and Sean McKernan. Thoughts? Who's going to win?
I have to say Essendon, so I don't...
Unfortunately, also that Emma Carney couldn't be brought in for the
Dogs. Yeah, we were just talking about this off on air, how she's gone to North. So North finally got an elite midfielder, so that's something. And then I wanted to try and... I'm sure there's some kind of loophole where she could have played in the boys' team because she would be the only one trying to tackle and play hard, put her head over the ball.
Cop that.
Yeah, maybe
cop
apart from, like, McRae or something. But, like, I mean, having McRae and Carney in the midfield could be pretty sweet. But, so I'm a little bit sad about that. That's kind of bummed me out this week. I have to tip Essendon because I never tip the Bulldogs unless I'm dead certain. I feel like I've explained that multiple times across multiple media formats. And I just don't want Stringer to play well because we've copped it so much in the media. Not because, look, I don't have a personal vendetta against the man, but, like, we've played so badly the last two rounds and, like, Damian Barrett will have a field day. About, like, did you see last night he was like, there's a rift and some players won't kick to other players because of rifts. But then, like, Kieran Collins, Rourke Smith, Caleb Daniel and Bailey Williams posted these, like, really funny photos of them all, like, wearing beige skivvies, like, matching on Instagram. And he's like, yeah, the players all hate each other and there's a rift and then they're, like, all posing, like, in matching
Cop
skivvies.
That Damer.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of like, it'd be pretty embarrassing if there was some kind of rift. And I know that Stringer wasn't the only problem, but there was all that sort of off-field drama with him. I just don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it wasn't like he was setting the world on fire at the Bulldogs. Mm. He's not setting the world on fire at Essendon. Like, he had 9 disposals last week playing in the midfield. So, you know what I mean? They were like, oh, yeah, we're going to use him as an inside mid. And then this week, oh, somebody was saying, one of the Essendon players was like, yeah, we still haven't found his best position. I'm like, the bench. Like, it's just like, I don't know. Like, he's good, but he shows a lot of promise, but he just makes really poor decisions a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I said this on my Western Bulldogs podcast, the Kennel Cough that I do with Wednesday sports test presenter Caleb Scanlon. Find us on Twitter and Facebook at the Kennel Cough. And thank you. Please rate us 5 stars. But I was saying that he used to do this thing that in the forward 50, a lot for the Bulldogs, he jumps up to receive a handball because it looks cool. And then in the time that he jumps up and down, somebody can tackle him. And then it's like either holding the ball or a ball up, right? So you lose possession.
Yeah.
And I just want to see him do that because I want, like, watching Essendon, he hasn't improved. He's not, like, markedly better in the Essendon team. But if he has one of his, like, one good games in every 6 weeks or whatever against the Bulldogs, the media is going to have a field day about how, like, our list management's terrible, he's not the problem, like, all the other players are fighting, like, it wasn't him, like, all this sort of, like, weird stuff. I just need him to not play well because I can't deal with another week of being, like, the Bulldogs. I mean, like, I know it's not going well. Like,
this is just a hard shift of being a doggy supporter, isn't
it? Yeah, it literally is. Like, I don't really appreciate being the whipping, like, team of the competition. It's probably...
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, well, at least...
I've copped,
like,
it for the last 4 years.
You had a three-peat, you're fine.
I didn't even live with that.
Yes, you
did. I was born in 99. I do not remember a single thing about it. The only game I remember from that stage, I remember going with my cousins. It was a Brisbane-Richmond match. It was at Eddie Had. And because my cousins went for Richmond, my dad went for Brisbane. I went for Richmond that match. Yeah. And Richmond lost, obviously, so Brisbane won. But that's it. That's the only thing I remember. I think I remember briefly dad going to the grand final.
Yeah, but
like,
you can still feel the...
No, I didn't feel it.
That's... Well, when I look back at
I know what you mean.
Bulldogs
I know what you
games,
mean, yeah.
Like, I was born in 97. I watched the 97 prelim. I made myself watch it. Still hurts. Do I remember... No, you know what I mean? You got a three-pit. So that's just...
We got a three-pit.
Could be worse. But
could be worse. They did win it 2016, so
yeah, exactly. But look at us now. So
Grace.
We obviously
traded
a blood sacrifice or something because now we're cursed. But yeah, I'm gonna go for Essendon. But I'd like to see the Bulldogs be competitive. I think Redpath's definitely back out of that extended lineup because they like used him as like the cover boy for the all the social media promotions of the new team. So he's obviously playing. I think that'll be good. I think if we have a forward line that's like Redpath, Dixon, Gowers, Dunkley, and then whoever else rotates in and out.
Yep.
I think that'll work well
with
the two, like, tools and everything. I think Dunkley tried to play well last week, but he was just getting shocking delivery. So, but, I mean, as Joe Danaher, who are we going to play on him? and so I don't like, I expect Essendon to win, but I would just like to see us be competitive for more than one quarter.
Yep. I'm going to go Essendon as well, but I think you may be more competitive this
Fingers
week.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully anyway.
My mind.
All right. Last match, West Coast and Geelong also at the Optus Stadium there
in
Perth.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Into West Coast, Thomas Cole, Will Schofield, Braden Ainsworth and Mark Hutchings. Ins for Geelong, Asava Radagola, Jordan Kaniko, I think, Jordan Murdoch and Scott Selwood. All right, predictions.
Oh, well, if they bring Scott Selwood back, I think that Geelong are probably a good chance. Like, if he's second,
I'm
going to
go the Weagles.
Lineup.
I'm going to go the Weagles. Geelong haven't been too convincing so far this season.
Yeah, but
obviously,
it's like, are the Eagles good or the Bulldogs just really bad? And I think they're more likely...
Well, to win at Etihad, for West Coast is massive. That's like, you true. Don't really think it that they're going to the win at Etihad. They've had a recently good record against Geelong at home, and obviously this is a new stadium, so you never know. But I don't. Yeah. I just like West Coast. I've never been big on Geelong.
West Coast.
I've never been big on Geelong.
I thought they were overrated, but when they beat Melbourne, I thought they looked really good, and so then I tipped them. I was like, they'll smash Hawthorn, and then they lost to Hawthorn. And it's kind of like, oh, do you see, like, Mark Robinson had some article being like, oh, Gary's a bit slow. And it was like, he's 34.
Yeah.
And he's had multiple.
Just, do you want to state the obvious anymore?
Yeah,
any
like, the thanks, water is wet. It's like, 34-year-old footballer slows down.
Great insight. All right.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how we go. But,
Wraps up AFL. We'll be back after this. We'll talk with Jake Stephen, who's over there in the Gold Coast. We talk about the Comm Games. Day one has wrapped up.
Flashback Friday here on the Sports Desk with Ben and Niamh. And we are joined by Jake, who is up at the Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast, doing a bit of reporting there. How are you, Jake?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thank you. Yeah, no, it's fantastic up here. It's a nice sort of 26, 27 degree weather every day.
Beautiful.
It's, got a fantastic vibe about, obviously, broad beach and surface paradise. There's a lot of punters on the streets, a lot of people enjoying the games, a lot of people enjoying Gold Coast's other renowned activities. But, it's a fantastic vibe up here. It's obviously, we had the opening ceremony a couple nights ago, and I was lucky enough to head along to that. And the vibe of the place was fantastic. I actually scored some pretty sweet seats, so I wasn't too far away from the Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull and obviously Prince Philip and Camilla, and they seem to be enjoying themselves despite what was published in the media. I think it is a sort of a long program, but a couple of snappers took some photos of them looking a little bit disinterested, but I don't think that was the case at all.
Wasn't
I think
the princess wanted to go to sleep or something like that? Is that?
Well, perhaps. I think they reported that, given that she had a long flight in, and, you know, that's probably excusable. I don't know how old she is, but, you know,
she's up there.
It's a pretty fair effort. But, look, they seem to be enjoying themselves, and the Gold Coast in the whole seem to be enjoying themselves, especially when the games were declared open. We saw the big whale out in the centre and the fireworks. It was a pretty spectacular beginning.
Fantastic stuff. All right, so sounds like it's a good vibe there, obviously. Now, we'll move on to the action. So, day one kicked off yesterday. What are the big talking points over there?
Yeah, definitely. To round out the first night of competition, the first night of swimming, the women's 4x100 metre freestyle took the gold in a world record time.
That's massive.
Six, Commonwealth Games titles in a row. There was Kate and Bronte Campbell, Emma McKeon and Shayna Jack. Kate Campbell brought it home in fantastic fashion and really has set a fantastic tone for the rest of the games in a world record time. What more could you want?
That's fantastic as well. Anything else that's major? Or I heard Sally Pearson pulling out. What's been the reaction over there?
Yeah, of course. Well, look, this was somewhat a little bit expected. I certainly am not too shocked about her pulling out of the games just prior to the games, maybe a week or 2 weeks before, she did Athletic Australia issued a media release saying that she had Achilles soreness and was flaring up. And I just thought that the tone of the media release and given the timing, I just thought it was probably bad signs for Sally from that moment onwards. And we obviously went on to see that she didn't get that coveted flag bearer role for the Commonwealth Games team, which made me also think, oh, perhaps, you know, it's likely that she could pull out. And lo and behold, yesterday at 1 o'clock, she held a press conference here and basically said, yeah, look, I'd love to compete. I'm devastated, but unfortunately, I'm unable to. And I guess the rest is history. And, you know, she was quite obviously gut-wrenched, and so were a lot of the you know, Australian fans and whatnot who were hoping to see her potentially capture that gold medal in the 100-metre hurdles would have been a highlight for sure, but unfortunately it looks like it's no longer to happen. Sally did say herself that she's not ruling out the possibility of competing at Tokyo 2020, so She's going to just take a little bit of time to regroup. I mean, you've got to remember, she is an absolute all-out superstar, an Olympic champion, world champion in London last year.
You know, and like, you'd obviously try and save yourself for the Olympics over the Commonwealth Games. Like, I mean, you know, Commonwealth Games, while it's important, it's nothing compared to the Olympics sort of thing. So I think, fair enough for Sally to be saving herself for the Olympics. Without her, what is there to look forward to today?
Today? Oh, I haven't looked over the program today, unfortunately, but I know I'm heading to the boxing later this afternoon.
Oh, nice.
The swimming action continues. Lawn bowls is on as well.
Lawn bowls?
I think I might head to the lawn bowls.
Yeah, why not?
It seems like a pretty good vibe over there.
Yeah, I know. It's like the local bowls club. You'll have a fantastic time.
Yeah.
Get a Palmer or something.
I think we beat Tonga yesterday because I went to Tyrus O'Reilly. He had a comedy night and he talked about how he was thrilled about Australia defeating Tonga in the lawn bowl. So,
yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff there.
Look, I could give you a half an hour exclusive about that match report, but I might save that one for a different time.
Yeah, right.
In the pool, I don't know if you guys saw last night, but Ariel Fitness, she's a young 17-year-old who moved from Tasmania to train and compete up here in Queensland. She took silver in the 200-metre freestyle by the barest of margins. It was 0.02 seconds off the Australian record as well.
Gee whiz.
And that was in a non-event. That was in the 200 meters, and you know, she's probably stronger in the 400 and the 800 free. So she's got those two events coming up. And if you saw the footage of her dad, almost
stole
the show.
Yeah, I saw that,
which is quite funny. He was going bananas in the stadium. You know, much like most of us, let's be honest. But he's certainly a young gun in the pool to look out for. And before, it would be remiss of me not to mention, of course, Mac Horton also grabbing gold last night in the 400 metre free, the Olympic champion. Look, he's an all-out superstar, the Melbournian. And we also saw a world record in the men's 4,000 metre team pursuit in the cycling. Helen O'Brien, Lee Howard, Alex Porter and Sam Welsford came together to put that magical moment on the track. And I guess it goes to show that anyone who says that, you know, the Commonwealth Games isn't world class, is a bit of a school sports competition, doesn't know any better, because it's been one day. We've got two Australian world records and Olympic champions and just absolutely fantastic results all around. So I think anyone might be a bit of egg on their face if they think that this competition doesn't mean much, because we're certainly, it's been one day and we're seeing the very best in the world compete.
That's great to hear. Thank you very much, Jake. We'll talk to you next week for sure. So good to hear you enjoying your time up there.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. I'll catch you on the other side.
Cheers, Jake. All right, Jake Stevens there for Jump Media Marketing. He's up there on the Gold Coast covering the Commonwealth Games. All right, we'll be back after this with our... You're listening to the Sports Desk here on Sin 90.7 with Ben and Neve. And we are now going to get stuck into our wrap-up, starting off with the NBA. And right now, it is certainly hitting the tip-top stage of the season in the NBA with only around 3 games remaining for most teams. We'll head into the Eastern Conference now. Right now, the Toronto Raptors are still leading in the Eastern Conference. They still sit atop the table despite losing to the Cavs yesterday. Also, another team that we've got to pay attention to in the East is by far and away the Philadelphia 76ers. No bias whatsoever because I go for them, but they are on a 12-game winning streak. I believe it is the highest or the equal highest in their franchise history. So their win yesterday, who they beat yesterday? I'm trying to remember. They beat, I think it was Pistons. That's right. We beat the Pistons by 7 points. That win puts us even with the Cavs with 48 wins and 30 losses. So 3 games or 4 games remaining for both the teams. They actually go to battle on Saturday, which is tomorrow.
It might be Sunday if it's American time.
So. No, yeah. It's...
Time is an illusion, so you never
know. I don't know what I was thinking. Okay, so it's tomorrow.
But another, Simmons is going well, but another Melbourne native not going so well. Kyrie Irving going to miss the playoffs.
Yes, injured. Kyrie Irving out for Boston, which is good news for Philadelphia. Obviously not for Boston, but I didn't even if Kyrie came back, I didn't think Boston would probably get too far in the East. They've obviously had a really good start to the Eastern Conference or to the NBA season, but they've dropped off definitely. Even with Kyrie still in the team,
look,
they'll still finish in the second seed. They'll probably take on the Cavs in the second round. But I don't think they'll get too far after that. So, yeah, my predictions will probably be like Cleveland and probably Philly or even Toronto. I don't know. I reckon we can beat Toronto, but no bias whatsoever, as I said. Western Conference, Houston, they've locked up the top seed already. Same with Golden State, they've locked up the second. Portland sit in third. They sit three games clear of Utah, so they're only one winner game from locking up that third seed. Utah are even on wins with all of San Antonio and Oklahoma City, and then one game separates them from Minnesota and New Orleans, which a further game separates them from Denver, who is also ahead by one game of LA. So, basically from 10th up until 4th, which is Utah, Utah got 45 wins, LA 42. Three wins separates 4th and 10th. So, extremely
I'm not
tight.
Good enough at maths to truly get into the NBA. Like, I can understand the basketball.
You don't need to be good at maths to be in the NBA.
Yes, you do. Everything.
No, you don't. No. All right, at the moment...
Too stressful.
Golden State are losing to the Indiana Pacers. Oh, they just scored a basket. 44-52. Another big game. Two big games. Oh, actually, you know, they're pretty much... There's four big games today. Washington take on the Cavs. Portland taking on Houston, LA taking on the Jazz, and then the T-Wolves taking on the Nuggets. So, three games there in the West, which will help to decide the top eight there. And then, obviously, the Wizards pose a little threat to the Cavs. So, if the Cavs lose, Philly leapfrog them into the third seed by half a game. All right, so we'll move into the... What's next on our wrap-up, Niamh? We've got Mick Fanning. Farewell at Bell's Beach. You watched it yesterday?
Yep. So he was surfing. He got all the way to the last final, surfing against Brazilian Italo Ferreira. What a name.
Ferreira.
Parents big fans of the Italo disco genre, perhaps, but I'm not sure. Mm. Fanning just he needed like a seven. It was like 7.5 points to win, and he let like four waves go past.
Mm.
A lot of people distraught about that. You could hear, a lot, you know, people on the beach, my sister yelling at the TV. There was a couple of, I saw bits and pieces on social media, somebody sitting at their laptop being like, does he not want to win? And like all this sort of stuff. It was a bit sad him not winning. And it was this kind of like weird thing where, I mean, like obviously like him and Ferreira, like, obviously, like, you know, there's no kind of animosity there, and they kind of hugged it out at the end. But like Ferreira's going off his nut, he's so excited he's won. But everyone on the beach obviously going for Mick Fanning.
Yeah.
Very
bit of an anticlimax.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't as poetic, I guess, as people had hoped. But in the poetic. Interview afterwards, Fanning was saying like seeing how much it meant to Ferreira made him feel a lot better and stuff like that. So I mean, it's a shame that he didn't win, but I think he seems pretty happy with it. He's had a pretty stellar career, and as well, I have the famous Shark Attack and Jay Bay, and two of his brothers, I think, have passed away during his life, and all this sort of stuff. I feel like he's got a bit of perspective on, you know, the fact that it's sport and stuff like that. And he was saying he'll miss. I thought it was funny. The woman who was interviewing him for WSL was. She was like, oh, what are you going to miss? Like, she wasn't asking him what he was going to look forward to, which I was like, come on, like, try to be positive. But he said he'll miss not only just the surfing, but being around all his friends all the time, like getting to travel the world and all that sort of thing, which is like the people he traveled with, which is like, of course, like, I'm of the opinion that being a professional surfer would be the best job in the whole world. But he said
I can't surf, so.
Yeah,
I can't
surf either, but I think it would be so good. But he said that he won't miss the 6:30 wake ups. So, fair enough.
Fair enough, also. All right, so obviously Mick Fanning done and dusted. All right, we'll move on to some rugby. The Storm take on the West Tigers tomorrow, 3 o'clock over there in Sydney. No game this week for the Melbourne Rebels. Their next game is next Saturday, 14th of April. They take on the Jaguars. Have they spelt that wrong? I don't know. It looks like they've spelt... It doesn't look right. That's why I, like, question my pronunciation of it. But they take on the Jaguars next Saturday here at Amy Park, or as they put it, Melbourne Rectangular Stadium.
Yes.
And also, just to finish off, the US Masters, the biggest golf tournament in the world, is currently taking place at the Augusta National.
You're struggling
course.
With pronunciation this morning.
It's a Friday morning. I haven't had much sleep. I'm a bit tired now. I don't know. All right, Jordan Spieth. He leads it so far. He's 6 under. He leads it from Finau and Kuchar, who are both 4 under. Just some other major names. Rory McIlroy, he's also on 3 under. Mark Leishman's the highest-ranked Aussie at the moment. He's 2 under. And then Jason Day, at the moment, he is 3 over. And ahead of him, actually, is Tiger Woods, who is currently tied 29th. Also with Bubba Watson, who are both 1 over. But that's it, pretty much, for
that's
this Friday edition of the Sports Desk. Pleasure, Neve, as always.
Thanks for having me.
We'll be back next Friday for the final edition of the Sports Desk for Season 1. Unfortunately, Michael should and will be back.
or else.
Yeah, or else he will be kicked off. I don't know.
Never again.
Yeah.
Bad for
Hopefully he does come back. yeah, so we'll be back next Friday. I'll be on Monday with Liam O'Grady. So do tune in 9 to 10 a.m. Obviously, give us a plug in all your socials, Facebook, Twitter, whatnot, whatever. You can tune in, obviously, the show also on Omni and all our other sports shows. But anyway, it's been another big week in sport, and it's going to be a huge weekend. So do get to your nearest TV or your radio and tune in to all the sport. Pleasure being on the show, and thank you for listening to us.